Hey guys, Tim here. Wanted to jump in and give you an opportunity. You can support our show. I don't know if you know this, but the number one way podcasts spread and grow is through referrals. It's through people telling their friends, hey, I found this podcast and I love it and I think you'll love it too. And so if you've been listening to this show for a while and you love it, share it with your friends. Tell everybody you know about it. I'm sure a lot of you are already doing that, but maybe you're not. Send a link. Send us something out to one of your friends. All the apps make that super easy. Just share it. And if this is your first time listening to this show, do that too. Just give it a shot. Send it to some people. Act like you love it and then listen to it. And then maybe you'll regret it. Maybe you won't. Who knows? Maybe it pays off for you. But yeah, just go ahead real quick before this episode starts. Hit share. Tell your friends about it. And then that will go a long way to help this show grow and continue to be here for the next 70 years. We're not going to live that long.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Have you ever heard of the Great Emu War?
Emu War?
Yeah. It's great. The Great Emu War.
The Great Emu War?
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Okay. So, I mean, we're talking about birds.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the difference between an ostrich and an emu?
I don't know, actually. I didn't look that up in the process. So here we are.
You're not as good at kissing as I thought you were going to be. We should have done that before the wedding. Yeah, the rest of the world is watching like, dude, Australia can't even beat a bunch of birds. All right, guys, we need backup. Bring in the bunnies. We're doing this for why? For no reason at all?
Why?
For the bit? Anyway.
Things I learned last night.
All I know about emus is that a lot of youth pastor haircuts look just like them. That's if you know what I'm talking about. That little hair on top and nothing on the side. That is a youth pastor haircut. Emus look like they work at a mega church. Emus look like they graduated from a Christian leadership college and are already divorced.
Oh my gosh, that's scary accurate.
Dude, we should start a TLC show for this is gonna sound rough. This is a rough joke. Here we go. Called 19 and Divorced. And it's Christians that got married in college and it didn't work. And you're nervous right now because you know it could be a real show. Your face is like, no.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's for those kids that got married on their 18th birthday. And then 6 months in, we're like, this sucks.
Jeez.
You're not as good as kissing as I thought you were going to be. We should have done that before the wedding. I would have known that you're a bad kisser.
Yeah, that's the grounds
no
for
tongue,
our divorce.
No tongue, too much tongue. There's just, and I've got emu hair. Anyway, this is a good episode so far.
So here's the difference.
We've got a lot of laughs.
Here's the difference.
Here's the difference.
There's a couple differences. One, emus are shorter than ostriches.
That's why they're more insecure.
Yeah, they're a little insecure. They also weigh a little bit less.
They're going to say more. Shorter and they're heavier.
They're shorter. They weigh a little less.
They're the Danny DeVito of birds.
Yeah, they're darker colored. But the most notable difference
is... Do you think
ostriches
are racist against them?
I don't think they know much about each other.
Same place?
I don't know.
Could you run into...
So.
If you were out on a safari, I don't know where ostriches live. If you were out on an ostrich... journey.
Yeah.
Would you run into some emus?
I mean, it depends where you're doing it. Emus are in Australia. I know that.
Okay.
I don't know if they're unique to Australia.
Are ostriches in Australia?
I don't know. Hold on. Let me look.
They're giant birds, so I assume that's where they're from.
That is a pretty Australian thing.
It's just giant whatever we have.
It looks like ostriches live throughout Africa. I don't know if they live in Australia as well. All I'm seeing is Africa. So maybe they're just from different places. But the ostriches, they're taller. They usually have like bald necks.
So is there an ostrich emu angle that we can go here? Like a ostrich emu smackdown? This is what I was asking. Like, are they like... are like ostriches like ew emus, or emu is like ooh look at those ostriches over there? You know,
I don't know if the emus and ostriches do they know about each other. I think they're on different continents.
Okay, well there's people on different continents that we know about.
Oh my gosh. They're not, they don't have like multi-continental society.
You don't think so?
For large birds, large flightless birds don't understand other continents exist. They don't have that kind of, well actually when we talk about this, maybe that might challenge this because they seem pretty intelligent. Anyways, so here's my favorite difference, though. Emus, they have three toes, where ostriches only have two. And for some reason, the difference in toes allows ostriches to run 45 miles an hour when an emu can only run at about 30 miles an hour.
So wait, which one has less toes? Really the extra toe. Down. Oh, the extra toe slows them down.
Yeah, that extra toe really weighs. That extra toe is like 70 pounds.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why I got disqualified from the Olympics because I...
Because you have a sixth toe?
No. I chopped some toes off to give myself an advantage. You know, and they were like, you can't...
They're like, sir...
Yeah, I was like, they were like, you can't make any modifications. I was like, I have an aftermarket foot. And they were like, no, you can't do that.
Aftermarket foot.
Yeah, it's like braces are an aftermarket mouth. You know, like if you make adjustments or whatever. And yeah. Then I cut off some toes, so I'd be a little faster.
Yeah.
It's like night toe.
What?
Your brain got it. Your brain got it after that. You went, what? And then your brain went, ah. That was fun to watch.
So here's the thing with the Great Emu War.
We should start over. So the Great Emu War. They have two toes.
They have two toes. No, they have three toes. Ostriches have two. Why do they name ostriches ostriches and emus emus when ostriches come from Australia? It sounds too similar. I know it's spelled totally different. It just goes off.
Ostriches don't come from Australia.
I know. That's what I meant. Everybody knew. Ostriches should... Anyways, so the emus... Here's the thing.
Ozemus.
In 1932... There was an issue. The emus were, I think we gotta go a little further back now that I think about it.
Okay. 25 years before 1932.
Actually, that's pretty close.
1907? What are you talking about?
After World War I, the Australian government said thanks to all their soldiers who fought in the war by giving them farms, all throughout the Australian outback. They were like, hey, thanks for what you did in the war. Here's a farm.
The United States kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just reserved booths at all the outbacks. They're like, listen, thanks for your sacrifice. Here's a bloomin' onion from down under. You know? So they get lifetime supply. Well, I mean, lifetime or 2 years, whichever's longer.
Whichever's longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they gave them all farms.
AT&T did the rollout, and they were like, you can have a booth, but we're going to kill you.
They gave them all farms. And then a few years after that, rabbits became a giant problem.
Jackrabbits?
Yeah. And just rabbits in general. Species of bunny rabbits became a big problem because they would just eat the crops of all the farmers.
We got all these rabbits everywhere.
So the farmers were like, hey, you gave us this farmland and it's infested with rabbits. We need you to do something about it. So they built like the Great Rabbit Wall, and it stretched miles. I'm going to look it up real quick.
The Great Rabbit Wall?
I don't know if that's what it's called.
So what you're saying is in 25 years before 1932, this wouldn't exist. No, it would be after World War One.
They were like,
hey, thanks for fighting.
Well, actually, this was before World War One. So they built this before World War One. They gave the farmland to the farmers after World War One.
Okay.
I'm getting my debts mixed up here.
Yeah. Why did they build the wall? Who was chanting for it? The farmers came into town. They were like, there's rabbits crossing the border. And then, you know, and they're not bringing their best. And so they were like, build a wall, build a... And so they built the wall
for rabbits. They built the wall for rabbits.
It's like a cute wall. It's like 4 foot tall. It's a cute little wall.
Yeah, that's actually really accurate.
It's actually it's a replica of the Great Wall of China.
But it's small.
It's a small wall. But you know who could get over it? Freaking emus. And they didn't look at, they didn't even think about that. They were like, this ain't going to keep an emu out. That didn't even cross their mind.
Yeah, this is, so.
A three-toed death bird, that's going to crawl right over this thing. But rabbits are out.
Yeah, so it looks like, it depends at what section you look at the fence. It's anywhere from 1.5 feet tall to 3.5 feet tall.
Oh, that's our bunny barrier. Yeah.
That's actually, they call it the rabbit proof fence, or the state barrier fence is another name for it. But they built it in 1907 to keep rabbits out of
the... Are you serious? 1907?
Yeah.
I straight up just guessed a date earlier. I guessed a year. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And they built it to keep rabbits out of their agricultural area. That was already established. This is our agricultural land. But it was such a problem, they needed to stop them. So they built, and I kid you not, a rabbit border fence that stretches the entire continent of Australia from north to south. Jeez. 2,023 miles long. It's this rabbit barrier
fence.
Rabbits
are that big of a problem. How tall is it?
It's, so it depends in the section. Anywhere from 1.5 feet to 3.5 feet tall.
1.5 feet?
Yeah.
It's shorter than the 3.5 feet of the hot tide. That's shorter than the railing on my back porch. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. So to keep the rabbits out. And it's like a really densely packed wire.
All across the entire thing of...
All of Australia. Yeah. It's this rabbit barrier.
So you could jump over it.
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I probably could.
Yeah. So they built this fence.
You could if you trained a little bit. You would need a month to...
Yeah, let me get my my agility up and then I can clear that. Yeah, so they've just built this fence
to keep the rabbits out. Okay.
Yeah, yep. And when it was completed in 1907, it broke the record for the longest unbroken fence in the world. Which I mean, I think is pretty fair. It's 2,000 miles long. So anyways,
wow.
They had this fence to keep the rabbits out, right?
Yeah.
And then they gave, after World War I, a bunch of farmland to the war vets. And so the rabbits weren't really that much of a problem, but the emus were. The emus were coming in, they were eating the crops. And
one emus can go over the fence?
Yeah. Yeah, they're tall. They're like 5 or 6 feet tall. And so, but
emus are 5 or 6 feet tall?
Yeah.
How long are their legs?
I don't know.
Dude, you come into this episode just so unprepared. I'm gonna ask questions like how many toes they got.
No, I don't.
What color are their eyes? Where are their ears? That's a real question. Where are their ears?
In the same place everybody's ears are.
Yeah, what do emu ears look like?
They're just holes.
They're just
like
holes?
Every other bird. Like every other bird. They're just like a hole in their head.
Yeah, what do bird ears look like? Oh my gosh. I should Photoshop birds with ears so they can hear. Maybe if they could hear, they wouldn't be so obnoxious. Maybe that's why they're so obnoxious, because they can't hear.
They can't hear.
They don't know.
All right, I'm okay.
Here's whatever, dude. This just is unimportant. So they've jumped over the fence.
They're jumping over the
emus
fence.
Emus are coming in the thing.
Exactly.
And the people are like, listen, we fought in the World War. We fought in the Great War.
Yeah.
We fought in World War I. And people are like, what are you talking about World War I? And then they were like, but the emus are in the field. Dude, what if someone's out there calling World War One?
Hold on. Did you just say one?
Yeah.
You think there's gonna be a second one?
Well, I don't know.
What are you saying? What are you trying to say here? That's good. yeah. So here's the thing. The emus.
We should make a movie and put a movie out called, you know, Tim and Jared One, and then never release anything else. It's just Tim and Jared One.
So these emus were making all these problems for the farmers, yeah. Right? It was a big issue. And the farmers, they said, okay, well, the emus are affecting our farm, and there's thousands of them, thousands of emus. It was estimated at one point that there was at least 20,000 emus in the region. Just
does that stretch that whole 2,000 miles?
No, I think it was directly in the location where they had left these farms for the soldiers in Australia. Yeah. I don't know exactly where it is. It's around Chandler and... Ooh, Chandler, simple name. Other name, Walgulan.
That sounds right.
Walgulan. Anyways, And so the emus.
Here's what I want this to be. I want this to be the great emo war. Like, dude, it's just kids fist fighting in a Spencer's Gifts. Hey, thanks for being here for Things I Learned Last Night. If you want bonus content, early access to episodes, and a whole lot more, including a Discord channel, we have that available to our Patreon supporters. To sign up for that and for more info, text Tillin to 66866.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, so the emus were causing all this damage, and the war vets, they were like, okay, this is a problem that needs to be solved. Who do we know that can solve this problem for us? So they called their good old buddy from the war, Sir George Pierce, who was Australia's Minister of Defense, and said, hey,
can you nuke them?
Pretty much. They were like, is there any way the government could just, you know, kill all of the emus?
Jeez.
And so Sir George Pierce, being a war man, said, you know what? We could take a few machine guns in there, and I bet we could make quick work of them pretty fast.
Oh, my gosh.
So he
went...
Where
was PETA?
I don't think PETA was around yet. I think this greatly predated PETA.
This is why PETA exists. Like, you can't just wipe out emus.
Yeah, PETA started in 1980.
So what they did was they built a second fence.
An emu fence. The emu fence. Yeah, so they came in the region. Sir George Pierce, he went... managed to scrape up front funds from the Australian government to get approved to bring in a small batch of soldiers from the Australian military armed with two Lewis machine guns and 10,000 rounds of ammo
Just helicopter fly over and...
Well, they didn't have helicopters yet. No, they didn't. A second ago, I searched... PETA start date. Now I'm searching helicopter start date.
This is after World War One.
Yeah, helicopters were invented in 1939, and this was 1932. So a few years too early.
Why they did?
Yeah, they're like, man, there was probably an easy way.
I wish there was a better way to do this.
So
helicopters were invented in 1939.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So on November 2nd, 1932, they arrived in the region, and their goal. Sir George Pierce said. He said, our goal is to assist the farmers and help remove the emus from the region and also collect 100 emu skins so that their feathers could be made into cool hats for their light horsemen. He didn't say cool.
our mission here is simple, gentlemen. There's a long... I know that we just got out of a war, but it's time to go into another one. Okay? We're going to rid this land of emus and also make cool hats.
Yeah, so that was his reasoning for the campaign. And on the November of 2nd...
I keep trying to think of what you would call a cool hat company. I'm working on it. Give me a second.
Cool Hat Co.
No. It's made out of emus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just throw it in whenever you got it. So on November 2nd, they...
Sweet Emotion.
That's a ripoff. On November 2nd, the military arrived in the region, and they spotted about 50 emus on that first day. Did you get it?
No, I back
keep
out
leaning
that,
right? in. Yeah, no, okay.
Should Emu I? Bauer.
Okay. I'll
it's take like that. Eddie Bauer.
Yeah, I got it. I understood. Do they have the cars too? The SUVs?
Maybe that's what the Hollister logo is. It's an emu.
I don't know what the Hollister logo looks like. Okay.
You got it, right?
The R.
Alex doesn't know either. Y'all weren't cool in middle school? That's obvious. Okay, go ahead.
So they arrive in the region and they set up an ambush on this herd of about 50 emus. And something very interesting happened at this ambush.
You can't rush a herd of emus.
Yeah. So they figured, hey, we've got machine guns. They've got nothing. So we're going to just ambush them.
Like, I mean, here's what I'm imagining. I need you to tell me if I'm incorrect here.
Yeah.
I'm imagining like the fighting scene in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe where...
It's been a minute since I saw it. You're going to have to paint the scene.
Okay, imagine Lord of the Rings or honestly any war movie where got they're it. Like on I'm each side. They got wall or in your language, a warped tour pit, right?
Yes, I understand with, now.
Now you understand it because you're a freaking moron. So I'm imagining people on horses, Australian flags.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they're like ready to ride in. Am I wrong? They got this.
No, yeah, nothing like that.
Okay.
So there was a herd of about 50 emus in the bottom of this valley.
That looked like, you know, fragile velociraptors.
Yeah, actually. And then at the top of the hill was the Australian military with their two machine gun posts. And they were just going to fire on these emus and we're just going to like unload on them. And
oh, they weren't going to charge them.
Yeah. And they're like, we're just going to take them all out, right?
Okay.
Well, the emus... as soon as they began to open fire, the emus seemed to have borderline tactics because they then separated from their group of 50 into smaller groups of 5 or 10, and they all ran in opposite directions. So that way it'd be impossible for them to hit every single one of them. They would have to target one single group. And what was also very interesting is the emus were sponges. Many of them were taking 5, 6, 7 bullets to bring down. And so they were hitting them over and over again, and they were still just running away. And so they were there that whole day, the 2nd of November. They had tried to ambush multiple flocks of birds, but after a full day of this campaign, the official report was they had killed perhaps a dozen birds.
That's not enough hats. We're already full of pre-orders. We got to kill more birds.
So they came back 2 days
Sir
later.
Sir George Pierce was Sir George pissed. I'll tell you what. They got back to the base and he was like, we're going to need more birds.
isn't even a 12.
What if he got like so obsessed with becoming like a fashion mogul that like he gets back to the day, he's in like a fur coat. And he's just like, how did it go? Like, he's Cruella DeVille of emus. He's the Cruella DeVille of emus. And he's out there like, I need 101 emus. 101 emus. The movie, part one.
So 2 days later, they went back into the region. They found nearby a local dam.
2 days later, they had to strategize.
Yeah, they built a strategy. And nearby, they found a local dam. And there was 1,000 emus, a herd of 1,000 emus that they spotted near that position. So this time they were like, okay, this time we're going to wait for them to get closer to us. So we're going to let them come to us before we open fire. So that way they don't have as much room to run and much room to get into their smaller groups. And so this time they waited and things started going really well. They broke into their groups like they thought. But then their gun jammed. And so in this campaign, they were only able to kill, again, about 12 birds in this event. And the rest of them...
Sir George was not pleased.
Yeah, the rest of them scattered and got away before any others could be shot. And there was no
emus
other birds.
Emus travel in herds of like 1,000?
Yeah, they're called mobs. So
are they
mobs
really?
Of emu, yeah. They travel in massive groups. But it appears that when trouble arises, they split into these smaller...
When trouble's
like
afoot.
They have like guerrilla warfare tactics because like when trouble arises, they split into these smaller groups of like around a dozen, and they stick together and they all run in opposite directions to make it harder for you to pick out one. Like, you can't get them all. You're only going to get one.
Have we studied them? Do they come back together later?
Yeah, eventually they'll all group back up and continue doing their thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So in the following days, they continued this campaign. And by the fourth day of the campaign, the army noted that each pack, this is a quote, it says, each pack seems to have its own leader now. They said, a big black plumed bird, which stands fully at 6 feet high and keeps watch while his mates carry out their work of destruction and warns them of our approach. So they literally would have like a watch guard that would stand outside the farm and watch the horizon line for danger.
And they would warn and be like,
while the rest would be eating the crops. And then if...
But they do that all the time. That's not because there was gunmen.
It seems like that's what they were doing in response to the campaign. Like, they weren't doing that at the beginning. But after the campaign began and the gunners were coming after them, they established a watch guard system. While the emus would be eating the crops, someone would be standing watch. And when they would see them, they would bolt. They'd split into their smaller groups and then get out of there.
No. Okay.
Yeah. So fairly... weirdly intelligent birds, giving the tiny size of their brains, but they had tactics. It seems to have some kind of tactics. So after about 6 days of this war on the emus,
6 days and 24 birds,
so 6 days, they had spent 2500 rounds of ammunition, and the number of birds killed is uncertain. But most estimates come in at around 50 birds were killed for 2,500 rounds across 6 days.
Jeez.
And so Meredith's official report is that his men suffered no casualties, though. So he was pretty proud of that. one of their lieutenants.
Did anyone get injured? That sounded weird. Did anybody get injured?
No, not in, not yet. On November the 8th,
oh my gosh.
Members of the Australian House of Representatives discussed the operation, and they brought...
it made it all the way back to the government. They were like, all right.
They brought it back to Pierce. It had hit the local media of how the campaign was actually going, and that only a few...
they're out there attacking thousands of birds.
Yeah.
And only coming back with 50 bodies.
50 feathers.
they took one feather from each body? Hats.
Yeah.
That was their tactic.
Yeah,
one feather from.
That's why they needed so much for his hat. He was the only one getting a hat out of this. This is my hat made of 100 emus.
This is my emu hat collection. It's like, yeah. Isn't that Captain Hook that takes like, he's like, don't touch a hair on his body, and he goes, okay, I won't touch this one. Is that a Captain Hook line? Does that sound familiar? Anyway.
I don't know.
Do you know what Captain Hook is from?
No.
Oh. It's that rum they sell at Hy-Vee.
Oh. No, it's not. Okay, here we go.
I hate that you had to say, no, it's not. That's what I hate. Do you know what Captain Hook is from?
Okay, here we go. I know what Captain Hook is from. It's from Peter Pan, okay?
Okay, I just got really excited that you might have been stupid for a second. That was hilarious. They were hilarious.
So trying to defend how terrible his... campaign was going.
Yeah.
Before the Australian House of Representatives, Pierce said, if we had a military division with the bullet carrying capacity of these birds, it would face any army in the world. They could face machine guns with the invulnerability of tanks. They're like Zulus whom even dum-dum bullets could not stop. And I'm not sure what dum-dum bullets are.
No, they just shoot those suckers. People. It's just... suckers.
Yeah, this link goes to a broken page, but the URL says expanding bullets, so I'm assuming they explode when contact. But and so the Australian House of Representatives was pretty divided. There was a group that was like, yeah, we can keep doing it. It's not a big deal. It's just, you know, whatever. It's small
it's
group.
Just money.
Yeah, it's a small group. It's only 10,000 rounds.
We're just never going to go to another world war. We don't need more. We don't need this.
But the other group was
like... It's 1939, right?
32.
32. Sorry, I was thinking of helicopters. It's 1932. Things are running smooth.
Things are great. It's the middle of the Great Depression.
Let's just sink a lot of ammo into emus.
There was another side that was like, this is going horribly. We're making our military look pathetic. And we're spending a lot of money doing it. So another side of the war was like, no, we shouldn't do this. And in fact, Pierce should be removed from his position for this.
Yeah, the rest of the world really is watching like, dude, Australia can't even beat a bunch of birds.
What is this face?
They can't even fight these birds.
Meanwhile, the U.S. is like, hey, we're going to go take out a bunch of ostriches just to show we're better.
Just to show we can do it.
They're not even on our country, but we're just going to... Yeah. They're bigger than yours.
We're going to go shoot the ones at the zoo. They can't get away. Just to practice.
Just to practice. So
imagine you're at the Dickerson Park Zoo.
A carpet bomb.
Like, where's that helicopter? That helicopter's flying extremely low. And then you just see someone dangling on the side. Just taking out the ostriches. What if we find out they're like super creatures that could
destroy?
Okay, here's Tim and Jaren 1, the movie. Okay. The plot is in the future we find out that emus are the superior being.
Yeah, species.
Species is what I was looking for. Yes. They're superior species. They're already halfway there. And we've come back to eliminate them.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that way they can't
do their uprising. Us.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. That's pretty clever.
Don't do that. Whatever. Read your thing. I don't know. Keep reading the Wikipedia page. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with the original stuff over here. You're literally copy pasting your mouth. Your mouth is just copy pasting Wikipedia. That's all we're doing here.
Hey, we can make that movie.
Yeah, movie.
Okay. So after they withdrawed the military, the House of Representatives was like, yes.
So they voted against it. They were like,
this is dumb.
But some of them were like, now I'm like personally invested in this.
Yeah, exactly. And so then the emu's attacks on the crops continued. They came on with vigor after the military was gone.
Yeah.
They said, hey, they're gone. We can get so much more. And so there was this hot weather and a drought that came literally almost immediately after all this was taking place. And that drove even more emus into the area. And so the veterans in the area that had started taking matters in their own hands, they just started shooting all the emus.
Yeah.
Well, the emus... I don't know if they knew they were doing this intentionally. I doubt it, but they started destroying the rabbit fence and letting the rabbits into the area to get the crops.
This is what I'm saying. All right, guys, we need backup. Bring in the bunnies. Like there's just an angry emu who slams his three-toed foot on the floor. They're all bickering. They're fighting. They're I don't know what sounds emus make, but they're like, and then one just, boom. Bring in the bunnies. And they just start tearing down the wall.
And you just see like this like peaceful shot of the wall, and then they just come up over the hill, thousands of them, and they just start ripping this wall to shreds.
You hear it. You hear one of those... And you're like, what is going on? And then they're just...
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Hey, thanks for being here. We've got merchandise. It's a way to support the show and help us do more stuff, buy new equipment, reach more people. If you like what we're doing and want to help us do that more, please consider doing that. If you want a link to that, all of that's going to be sent to you if you just text Tillin to 66866. I'll tell you, it's not a thing where we're going to text you a lot. It's not a text service. We're not going to like send you more of the money. It's just a way for you to get a link. It's one text. That's all we're going to send. I promise you.
So,
we need more ammunition.
The situation.
I saw that joke a lot earlier. I just didn't know where to bring it up.
The situation hits a fever pitch. And on the 12th of November, the Minister of Defense approved a resumption of the military effort.
The 12th of November.
They said, we have to go back.
They were like, defense! Our pride and joy. It's the longest fence in the world. It's the longest unbroken fence in the world.
And they broke it.
It must remain unbroken.
You go back in there and you unbreak that fence.
Fun fact, actually. Did you know that Billy Ray Cyrus's Achy Breaky Heart is a cover? It was actually Achy Breaky Fence. It was written in the 30s.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it's a cover.
That's fascinating.
It's kind of like how the Jonas Brothers didn't write the Band of the Year 3000.
Really?
Or Rascal Flatts didn't write any of their songs. You know? It's the same thing.
Okay, okay.
Billy Ray Cyrus was like, breaky, breaky fence. He just changed it. It was a more modern thing. People had emotions later on. The government didn't care about the farmers. They were like, let the emus get the farmers. Who cares? Like, I hope the emus kill their families, honestly. We don't care.
But the fence.
The fence?
The fence! So they began a second campaign.
Yeah. It's absolutely nuts. These birds can just take bullets, though.
I know. Yeah. They take somewhere between 5 and 10 bullets to take them down. They're beasts.
I don't know. And you can't really test it. You can't be like, let's figure out. You know, that's
one.
PETA's going
to
be
real ticked off. How many licks does it take to get to the center?
Oh, my gosh. A one. A two. A two. That's a bad joke. That's some real dark stuff. Talk about dum-dums, you know?
Oh, no. That's
terrible. I don't like that. I'm glad you made that joke.
Before we get into the second campaign of this war, I want to shout out our Patreon, Fabian36.
You want to go from murdering emus to talking about our Patreon supporter? Hi, we'd like to honor you for supporting our show. thanks for helping us kill the emus.
We didn't do it. The Australians did.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps. Yeah. We supported them, but we didn't do it.
Honestly, a lot of people have recommended this to us, both our patrons and people in the comments and on our email. But Fabian36,
someone emailed,
I believe, is the
you?
First one. Yeah. Someone straight up emailed the emu war to me.
Okay. Who was it that suggested it?
Fabian36 was the first that we got. So shout out to you, Fabian. This is a crazy story. Honestly, one of the wildest wars in recent history. So.
Yeah. You're right.
So yeah, there's that.
Thanks
so
for giving us that in the Discord, which is available to our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to be a Patreon supporter, you get access to the Discord and also some behind the scenes stuff, early access, and you don't have to listen to advertisements like, well, hold on, I gotta say, text Tillin to 66866, and then you don't have to listen to advertisements like this one.
Great.
Great.
Good. So they came back on the 12th of November. And
this all started on the 2nd of November.
Yeah. So this is a very
and
short
time
span.
And then they went November 2nd to November 8th. They fought hard. Between November 8th and November 12th,
they got
the
banned.
Emus were like, we're comfortable
like,
enough.
We're coming in hot. They're like, they pulled back. The they were like,
you know, we've got it too good. They got bored. The 9th and the 10th, they were just eating crops.
No. It was more of a, they pulled out their forces. We need to come on the offensive now.
Oh, okay.
It was their attack. So they came out for more crops. They broke the fence.
Yeah.
And they said, you mess with the emu, you get
mess
the horns.
With the wrong.
You get the third toe. You mess with the emu, you get the third toe.
Okay. I hate it.
So they came back on the 12th of November. They got themselves positioned. They began planning. And on the 13th of November, they found their first like degree of success in the whole campaign, where they had killed approximately 40 emus. The third day of their campaign that they were back on the 15th of November proved a little less successful.
What were they doing different this time? Anything?
Yeah, so they continued that original strategy of
just shooting them,
of setting up, like finding a large pack and then setting up their positions and waiting for them to get close And then what they would do is they would just select targets. So they would say, okay, we're going to pick out this group instead of try to hit all of them. We're going to say, that's our group. We're taking that one. And then we're going to move on.
Yeah.
So they're being selective. Obviously, a lot of them were getting away, but they're actually being able to wipe out.
But they were estimating there's about 20,000 emus in this region,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So if you're only getting 40 a day.
Yeah, this is going to take a while. So by November 2nd, the soldiers were killing December 2nd. Soldiers were killing approximately 100 emus a week. So still not the
really
numbers.
Kind of rough.
Yeah. So by the 10th, their lieutenant in charge of the project claimed that they had killed 986 emus with about 9,000 rounds.
Jeez.
So it takes about 10 rounds per confirmed kill. And he also claimed that they had wounded about 2,500 that were going to die as a result of the injuries that they sustained.
Oh.
So they had hit them and they were going to bleed out eventually. And then there was a lot of attempts in this. They had their most successful campaign, their most successful like strategy was what we had just talked about, where they would camp out and bring them to them. But they did try to mount their guns on a car, which...
try to Mad Max it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Which actually
just
resulted
in emus,
which actually resulted in the only real human injury out of the whole event, where because the emus were so sporadic, they ended up swerving and crashing the vehicle. And so they were like, yeah, we're not going to do any more of that. And they got injuries. It wasn't life threatening, but
but it's an injury nonetheless. You know, you still have to report it. It's kind of like a church camp. If you get a little scrape in your knee.
Yeah, you still
have
to call home.
You got to call the parents.
Yeah. So yeah, all these soldiers' parents were getting called and they're like, you let these birds hurt my kid. so eventually they pulled out of the war.
Eventually. They were like, listen, the emus have taken the land. It's their land now.
Yeah, yeah. So they pulled out of the war a few months into the
thing. Did they try to negotiate it all with them? Or
they're like, we need a treaty.
Some peace negotiations?
Yeah, so they pulled out of the war, and what they said is, hey, this isn't working. The cost is too high for how much we're able to put the damage out. So a couple years later, in response to this issue, what the Australian government ended up actually doing instead was they created a bounty system. Where they put bounties out for the
emus.
He's
got pictures of emus around town. Have you seen this bird? Reward.
And it's literally just the same bird.
I don't know how emus look forward. They're just like...
And so... So all the farmers...
They Google searched emus.
They just stuck it on there.
The farmers were getting paid to do it.
One of the guys at the House of Representatives didn't know there was a difference between emus and emos. So the whole time, and so he just put like a kid
with like the hair like covering his eye,
a little red tip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so over a 6-month period, the government had paid out 57,000 bounties. So their estimation was way wrong that it was only 20,000.
Wow.
To these farmers who they were war vets. So these farmers were like, hey, you guys can't do this. We're going to go get them. And so they did.
And we're going to take this into our own hands.
Yeah. So they really did. These farmers went out and they just went on this massive emu.
Because you could turn that into a full-time job.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're getting bounties.
Yeah. If you're getting bounties.
And if you figure out how to catch emus.
Yeah. If you can figure out their tactics and subvert them, then you can get away with it, I guess.
Yeah. You got like an A team and it rolls up in the van. I pity the bird.
They call themselves the E team.
I was going there. That's where I was going.
Well, I'm glad I could jump the line for you.
And they just roll up and take them out.
Yep. 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 Exactly.
Wow.
So they faced pretty fierce criticism right around when this whole thing was kind of coming to light during the middle of the 30s. So after the war had ended, the public was like, you guys are like exterminating this rare emu. It was like this rare species.
Yeah. You're going to make it go extinct.
Yeah, exactly. And so they faced fierce criticism for it. But then World War II happened and everybody forgot about it.
Everyone was like, this is all right.
Yeah. They were like, yeah, we got more things to worry about. And so... this is the the Great Emu War. A lot of people argue that Australia lost this war because they did just kind of give up.
When did they give up on? Like, when did they stop killing emus?
So in December of 1932. So
no, not the government. Not the government. I'm saying the bounties and stuff.
Oh, I don't know.
Are they out there killing emus to this day?
I don't think they're out there killing emus. I think it was a couple years. I think. So they requested assistance again in 34, 43, and 48, only to be turned down by the government. Instead, the bounty system had been reinstigated and continued. And so over the course of, gosh, it looks like about 30 years, they did system, which bought 57,000 emus in for bounties. So they were just killing off all these.
Okay, so wait. How much did they get paid for each bird?
I don't know that. Hold on.
Because here's what I'm thinking, right? You and I, if they're still doing the bounty system.
Yeah.
Right? You and I move to Australia.
Yeah.
Okay? We catch a few emus.
Yeah.
We get them to mate.
Okay.
Right? And then we kill them, turn them in for the bounty, and then we kill their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to get those to mate first.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We just create an endless cycle. We just have an emu farm.
Yeah.
That, you know, as they get older, we just take them in and like we kill enough. Like they're just like, dude, you're constantly bringing us emus. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Call me the beaker.
Did you say the beaker?
The beaker.
I love that.
Yeah. Cause I imagine like riding into town on a horse. People are like, it's, you know, 2021 now. I'm riding on a horse and you hear that.
I like that a lot.
Dude, the beaker? Come on.
That's pretty cool.
The guy who chases down emus and just, I mean, again, Tim and Jaren won.
There it is.
There it is. When you're fighting emus, you know, you're from the future. You got that weird like glasses thing over one eye, which I don't think will ever become a trend, but whatever.
But
you know, you're rolling town. You're like, I'm the beaker.
I'm the beaker.
Bro, we should make this movie.
This is, I mean,
this is a short film. This is a short film idea we just had.
This, a short film idea.
Yeah,
see us at Sundance.
We'll start a media company called Tall Films. I guarantee that's already a thing, but it's funny.
Anyways, these.
She seems like you're not excited about it.
I am excited.
I mean, you know, it kind of feels. Here's what it feels like. When we started this podcast, it feels like that same energy. We're like, yeah, it'd be a fun idea. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, just give it 4 years and I'll get excited about it.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
It looks like the price that they were paying was 4.5 pence, which today is equivalent to about $16.
Oh, that's not as much as I thought it would be.
Yeah, but that's 4.5 pence to today. I think there's an inflation number, so I would guess it'd be around 100 with inflation. So like 4.5 pence in today, 4.5 pence would be $16. But 4.5 pence back then to US dollar with plus inflation, I think it'd be around $100 per bird. So still not much.
You just made all that up, I think, but whatever.
Okay, whatever. I can make stuff up. Is that illegal?
No. I mean, it's fine.
I got freedom of speech
I was thinking they were dealing out like $1,000 a bird.
I don't think so.
Because you could turn that into a full-time gig pretty easy.
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem like that. But it'd be better for the movie if it is. Like,
right.
Let's make it like $10,000 a bird.
Yeah.
That'll be more interesting.
That's people a bounty are hunter. Yeah, they call him the beaker.
Yeah. I like it.
It's you and me, man. I'm Beaker and you're Squawk Squawk. You know? Beaker and Squawk Squawk.
Can it just be Squawk?
No.
I feel like Squawk's better than Squawk Squawk.
It is. That's why I made it Squawk Squawk. Squawk Squawk is clearly less cool. And like people call you Squawk and you correct them.
No, it's Squawk.
Hey, Squawk.
Please, excuse me. Please,
like
squawk.
You're such a nerdy dude in the E-Team van, you know? Like, you're like, get in the back of the van. They're like, yo, Squawk, get up here. And you're like, it's Squawk Squawk. Say it right or don't say it at all. And they're like, all right.
Say it right or don't say it at all.
This is where I'm putting my... You've cut off two toes on each foot so you can connect with the birds, whatever that means. Like you're just trying to get in their mind space.
I have my my big toe, my pinky toe, and that middle toe.
Yeah, exactly.
I cut off the two middles.
When I say that's exactly what I was thinking, I mean that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm not chopping off pinky and
toe ring finger. Off.
No, of course not.
No.
You got to take every other.
Yep.
So you got this weird, like, if this is a gang symbol, I apologize. But you got like this weird three.
And he has a really hard time balancing. He's always stumbling around because he only has three. Sorry, I have three toes.
Squawk, are you okay? Broken neck. Like you're falling down the stairs. You're like against a corner. I'm like, Squawk, are you all right?
Are you good, Squawk?
It's Squawk, Squawk.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to hit the writer's room on this.
Oh my gosh.
Figure this out. But
I want to go see this wall, honestly.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
What if you and I walk the wall?
Bro, that would take for charity. It's a continent sized wall. That would take us weeks. It's 2,000 miles long.
You don't want to spend that much time.
How many miles? I'm gonna Google Maps how long the walk would take.
I don't know. There was a dude who walked across the whole United States. You know?
Yeah, but he had a cross. He had a reason for it.
What? That was for the Lord, okay? Different stuff. We're doing this for why? For no reason at all?
Why?
For the bit? Anyway.
I'm trying to Google Maps it, but I
honestly thought when you said they put two gunmen at the top of the hill, right? There's the mob in the middle, mob of Emu in the middle. Yeah. I thought they were going to pull a Gideon.
Oh, what do you mean?
Where they just play music real loud, like the horns, you know? But maybe, you know, in the 30s, the fiddles were pretty popular. It'd be a fiddle off.
No, they didn't do that.